And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 152 for November 26th, 2017. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Hanging with Heavy, CFL Easy Picks, and Tim and Tom. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is back. I've renewed the domain. We're good to go. Check out all our archival episodes as well. Everything's available there. If you want to email us, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's old movies. STFU old school. Hashtag OSATM. So if you want to get anything on the show, hashtag OSATM. I will aggregate all those tweets for the show. On our panel this week, we've got, of course, our Iron Man, Mr. Heavy Set.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
I'm still waiting on a Trump version.
It's coming. We've got Carpe Diem.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
Hello, I have returned once again. To speak badly of a DC movie.
Hey, no spoilers. All right. And we've got from expertcomics.com, Mr. What?
Yeah, actually, it's not Expert Comics anymore. It's Library Z.
Oh, whoops. Okay. From the brand new LibraryZ.com, Dave. Dave, what's going on, man? Library Z, what happened to Expert Comics?
Expert Comics is now sort of, we've switched our online domain.
Okay.
And now we're a new shop in Montreal North. It's a brand new shop. Check it out. Well, it's actually been around for a year, but I've been with it just for a few months. It's great people, cool events. I'll be there during the events. A brand new website, too. So,
curious as a former Expert Comics going, does it still exist or was it forced to change the name due to where we live?
Our store in Angry on Mall is still Expert Comics.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're still there for now and still associated with them. So anybody that's in the LaSalle area can check out Expert Comics and everybody else can check out the new store, Library Z. I don't have the address right now, but you can check it out online.
LibraryZ.com. Check it out. All right. I want to do a little bit of call back to last week where you guys put over Thor Ragnarok pretty heavy. And I enjoyed it as well. I gave it a 7, but I had a couple of criticisms that you guys didn't bring up that I would like to discuss, if I may, before we get into the show proper. To me, it came off as a bit of a parody. It was almost like trying to be a parody of itself. You guys agree?
I agree with you to a degree, but I think that seeing as the bad reviews that Dark World got, I think that Taika Waititi, the director, I think he did a good shift from what the last movie was. I don't know, man. I think I think the audience likes comedy, so I don't really see where it's an issue. I don't know.
Well, it's more fun and lighthearted of a movie. There's a reason that Thor is not able to keep the same director because Disney wants something different each time and some people aren't willing to bend or break for that. It was a good lighthearted movie and it's in my top five of the year at the moment. So,
you know, I find the source material for Thor is all over the place too. You know, you have a lot of different generations of comic books to choose from. You have, the Stan Lee era, the Walt Simonson era. You have latest stuff with Jason Aaron. You guys probably have no idea who those last two guys are.
I know Jason Harris. Come on.
But, you know, I think that, you know, you have so many years of Thor to work with. I think there's different types of comics, and I think the movies should reflect that, too. It shouldn't be the same feel for everybody.
Yeah, but you don't think this was just like a cop-out by the Disney studios seeing Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool's success to say, oh, we got to copy this and make it kind of over-the-top humor?
Sure. I mean, I think the cosmic corner of the Marvel Universe, James Gunn has sort of established as sort of a certain thing. And I think this movie being a little more on the cosmic Thor side of things, I think, yeah, it reflects that, definitely. So and
why wouldn't you do something that's proven? It's proven across all the other Marvel movies.
Right. So you're just going to copy everything else. That's the problem with this. These comic book movies.
It's not comics.
You're just trying to copy one formula that works, and people are going to get tired of it because it's all fucking the same shit.
And that other formula that we're going to talk about later on, how successful was that this weekend?
Why don't we focus on what we're talking about first here, Carb?
I don't know if anybody has seen the leaked trailer. You're not supposed to have seen it, but the leaked trailer from Avengers Infinity War, this movie directly will collision course into Infinity War. So, and Thor will quite honestly be the first one to run into the Guardians. You know, I think this movie sort of is ushering in that part of that movie.
I get their continuation stuff makes sense, like their storyline, you know, their canon, if you will, and how all these movies kind of intertwine. I do give them credit. It is good. Another criticism I had, it came off as very Tron-ish. The music reminded me of Tron. The look came very Tron-ish. And I found that they spent way too much time on that District 9 planet.
Now, you're talking about the newer Tron, right? Because I'm pretty sure you've never seen the old Tron.
I have, but yes.
Probably, okay. Last time I checked, the original Tron was awesome.
No, I mean the newer one. I mean, there's a ripoff of the newer one.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, I really didn't see it. There's a lot of sexual innuendo for the newest one, you know, Devil's Butthole and the fuck ship and all that stuff. So.
What about the point?
It's called Sakaar.
Whatever, that District 9 planet. They spent like an hour on that fucking planet.
Well, it's from Planet Hulk. So, and this was sort of like partly adaptation of that. So, yeah, I mean, it was sort of like a given.
Yeah, I get that.
Look at it like this, too. They're in space. There's going to be different planets. And there's so much there. They go to different planets all the time.
Yeah, but I just find they spent too much time on the trash planet.
Okay, well, it's where it's taking place.
Diarrhea fucking planet.
It's the plot, dude.
Whatever. I don't like it. What do you want me to tell you? That's it. But
so much time on that Ego, the living planet, and Guardians of the Galaxy, too. Why did they do that? I'm so dumb.
Yeah, why'd they travel all those planets and Guardians? That's just silly.
All right.
Why do the Guardians of the Galaxy go around the galaxy?
Oh, fuck you. Listen, there were some good parts of this. Like, I loved Kate Blanchett. She was fucking amazing.
Yeah, she stole the movie for sure.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I was shitting on the humor part, but like the scenes with him and Hulk were fucking great. Going back and forth, that was funny.
It was definitely, for me, the best Hulk movie that I've seen. Like, the best movie with the Hulk. Because he actually was talking like the comic book, and it really felt like Peter David's Hulk. It was really, really, really well done.
All right, we're going to get into the first news story before the movie review. Carp mentioned, we got to bring this up, just the financial woes here of the Justice League. Apparently, Carp, it's going to lose between $50 and $100 million.
At least. Do you have the Prices Right losing horn? Because you should play that.
I'll add it in post.
Yeah. When I heard that they were going to perform under $100 million for opening weekend, I knew they were in trouble.
You know, I don't know what to say about it because I feel that it's BVS that really hurt this movie. It sucks because I really felt they put their best foot forward for this one. And, for the most part, they tried to fix the problems that people had with BVS. So, Batman vs. Superman, if people don't know what that is.
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought it was great.
I just sort of feel that, you know, it's sad because they do set up something really great for a future movie, and I don't know if they're going to be able to make one now.
Just like All Beer Inside, buddy, where you're like, hey, this beer's great, and everybody else is like, oh my god, this tastes like toilet water.
I don't know, like, all you guys are wrong, that's all I'm saying.
Or, who's
wait a minute,
we're
talking about what movie?
Batman versus Superman, I enjoyed it.
Okay, where would rank all the DC whatever they call it. Not the DC.
The Nolan series is the three greatest movies ever made.
No, I mean this cinematic universe that they have, but they call it the DC EU?
Extended universe.
Wonder Woman's number one by far.
Okay.
Number two. It's going to be Suicide Squad.
Number three.
Number three is going to be Batman. Oh, no, the Dark Superman. The Dark Superman. That was good.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, whatever. And then and Batman versus Superman.
Wrong title. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always verbally filleting DC, but you don't even know the fucking names of the
stop
movies.
Stop getting on my ass about specifics. Listen.
Darkseid.
Yeah, Darkseid. I was a huge fan of Darkseid.
And you probably haven't seen Justice League yet, have you?
It's on my list. I saw Thor. like I don't go the fucking the Friday. I'm sorry. I was watching Thor. I'm catching up.
And ultimately,
you podcaster now? I forget. Do you?
Oh, fuck.
So, old school, you have it completely wrong, by the way. Wonder Woman's number one. And then the Arrow TV show is number two.
No, that doesn't count.
Then, you said then the Flash TV show is number three.
Movies, he said.
Okay. But
Arrow, by the way.
This is the fourth
fucking
one.
Fucking Arrow, everybody's a superhero now? Fuck that show.
I have my reservations for all those shows, but I watch every single one religiously every week. But that's what I do.
I watch absolutely none of those shows. Just don't have the time.
All right, let's get back to the financial woes here.
The question I was asking, because like, where would you just rank them? Because I mean, I think even with Justice League, well, I mean, we'll get into reviews. It's not the best, but certainly not the worst.
I definitely would put Justice League number two after Wonder Woman.
You're out of your mind.
That's all I'm saying.
Which is you haven't even seen it. How are you? I haven't seen that movie, but that assessment is so wrong.
I can't wait till he watches and goes, wait, who's that?
Who's that? Darkseid?
If you're a DC fan, you're going to like Justice.
There you go. So I'll put it number three.
three under what?
Under Suicide Squad.
And basically...
Wait, did you just
say Suicide
Squad? I said Suicide Squad.
I specifically heard Suicide Squad.
We'll play it back. I'll play it again in post. Under Suicide Squad. Just like the, what did you say I said last week?
And he was right, by the way.
No, I wasn't. No, hold on. No, he wasn't. He wasn't right.
He was right. I freaking just listened to it.
No.
But hold on.
Because he said, no.
Going back to what you, because I was having a list of which one you liked. You basically are now saying the worst one is Batman versus Superman.
No, I said it's number three.
Was it? Did you say number three? Because I thought you said Dark Batman.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm saying for the ones I've seen, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, Dark Superman, Superman Sundown, and then the BVS.
So, of what you've seen,
can you
it's the first
just
one.
Say the names right?
But no matter what,
Superman Returns,
admitted,
right?
You just admitted that it's the worst one.
No, there was fucking other ones. Don't worry.
No, there's only been five, dude.
Now, what about the Punisher? That's
that doesn't count.
I'm going to close this thing now.
Look, say I'm trying to make up any excuse to try and make DC better than Marvel when I
Fuck
showed
Marvel,
the numbers.
It's repetitive bullshit. You know it.
I showed the numbers. Avengers pulled in $207 million opening weekend, adjusted inflation.
Yeah, but it's the inflation. Like, if you don't adjust for inflation, it made 40.
Okay.
Can I just say that, like, I am so against this, like, Marvel versus DC stuff. Like, I just think...
Pick a side, Dave.
I don't think people should. I honestly don't. I think you're allowed to like both.
No. You either like Trek or you like Star Wars. You like Marvel, you like DC.
I like Trek and Star Wars.
Well,
man.
You're an idiot. Like, listen, you got to either pick one or the other. That's
or I'm just a fan.
Republicans or Democrats, fucking Dave.
Who doesn't like Shrek?
Fuck Shrek, man. I like the Chris Farley Shrek better.
Look, either way, a Weinstein is going to molest somebody.
Oh, jeez. You had to go to the Weinstein, eh? You fucking sick fuck. All right.
And first and foremost, I'm the one that brought it up. I gave you that link.
Oh, shit, my bad. Yeah, it's true.
And
shout out to Heavyset for that link. Thank you very much.
I should have took a nickname.
Sorry,
I can't
Matt.
Be associated with you people.
It's amazing.
You're just going to have to censor everything you said.
We're going to call him Ralph from now on. All right.
Can we call him Andy?
Yeah, we'll call him Andy.
Hey, he doesn't deserve that.
Dave. Question for you. Now it's going to be your last appearance, I'm guessing. do they do another Justice League at this point, or they just say fuck it?
I honestly hope they do. I think the fan reaction from this one has been really good, and I think that what they hint at in the post-credit scene is something that the fans are going to want to see. I really hope that they just look at what's probably going to be pretty good DVD sales and Netflix sales and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're not making $100 million off Netflix revenues.
No, but I think if they look at what it made
and nobody buys DVDs
and the critical acclaim, I think it's worth doing.
Are you sure you want to use that word critical acclaim? Because Rotten Tomatoes is a little rough on it. It's not as rough as BVS, but it's pretty rough.
Yeah, and Rotten Tomatoes is owned by fucking Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers delayed the release of the reviews.
Which, critical acclaim might be a wrong thing, but fan reaction is what I should be saying.
Because, yeah, it's interesting. If you see the difference between the reviews from actual film critics and the audience, there's a huge gap. There's like a 40 to 80%.
My showing that I saw it, it was the first Thursday that it was released, and it had audience applause at the end.
But also, you're talking about the Thursday show, and you're talking about the people that are going almost as soon as it's available. After my showing, which I went on a Saturday evening, no applause. It was a fairly full theater. I will give them that.
Yeah, but Americans are assholes. We know this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's
just remember, possible. You're going to do movies here in America, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I think it's the fans that matter, no? Like, no offense, but the mainstream people that go to see it, I personally don't think they could care one way or the other. They don't even like superhero movies that much, so I don't know.
Even the Friday night showing that me and Watsuki went to, man, at Angrino, it was only like half full. And when we went for Deadpool, it was full on a Friday night. So
what do you think was the problem here? Was it just everybody was shitting on it preemptively? Is there just a lack of buzz for DC stuff right now? Like, what do you think?
I just really think it was Batman versus Superman and Zack Snyder's movies that really, really hurt it. I think trailers didn't really show what was good about the movie. It didn't really look like a DC sort of uplifting DC movie like it should have. It looked like just another special effects jizz fest, you want to call it. I don't know what to call it, It just really looked like it didn't look as good as I think the actual movie was.
I think one of the biggest issues is consistency when it comes to DC. There's a lot of people who I think are starting to lean more towards the TV shows, and they're just going like, I don't really care much about this DCEU thing that's going on, but I'm really enjoying all these TV shows that they're putting out, and I'm just going to stick to those because, hey, those are easily accessible, and I don't have to pay extra money to go out to a movie theater and have all those extra expenses. Because we had mentioned earlier about the competition with Marvel, like about picking a side. I still feel like they are trying to emulate Marvel, and I'll get it into my review, that I don't have the same feeling that I did during Justice League as I did Avengers.
No, but I feel that in this movie, contrary to Batman vs. Superman and a few of the others, when you leave the theater, you feel happy. You know, you feel like you saw something. I think by the end of Justice League, you see sort of like a little bit more of the DC Comics comic books coming out of it. That's what I like most about the movie. You know, I have problems with the movie too. Like, I can't stand Steppenwolf. I cannot stand that CG character.
All right, let's fuck it. Let's go straight into the review then. Here we go. Without revealing too many spoilers, Dave, because not only me, but probably a lot of listeners are going to be checking it out this weekend as well, let's get your review of Justice League. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically what I was saying, it was okay. I think it has its problems, but I think for the most part, the good stuff about the movie was pretty good, was pretty enjoyable. Wonder Woman did a really good job. I think she's probably one of the best things the DCEU has done. I really enjoyed Momoa's Aquaman. I think he was one of the characters that's going to come out of this is one of the best. You know, his solo movie is going to do really well. And I think most of the characters, they came off really, really, really well. I thought Flash was a little annoying. I think he was a little too dorky and goofy. You know, I think I didn't really see the Barry Allen that I know from the comics in that character too much. And I think maybe the TV show, actually, like Heavyset was saying, the TV show does hurt it a little bit because people are used to the Grant Gustin Flash on TV and you get to see this guy and he's not quite the same. You know, and they used him as comedy relief maybe a little too much. You know, and on the other hand, one of my big problems was Batman. I was just not feeling Batman in this movie at all. I just feel his role in the movie was a little off. Like, and I complained with this with BVS. I'm waiting for that Batman, cool, badass Batman moment.
Smart guy, the detective, you're saying.
Yeah, I want to see him as a detective, and I want to see him as the smartest dude in the room all the time. And I never really get to see that with Ben Affleck's Batman. I love the way he looks, for the most part. I'm not crazy about the tactical suit look, but I really like the normal Batman outfit. I think it's very comic accurate. I think he looks great. The cowl looks great. I think, you know, all that looks great.
What do you think about the actor himself, like Ben Affleck?
I really get the feeling that he just isn't into it. I think they should have tried to get somebody that actually loves Batman and wants to do this. You know, you get that with the Marvel characters. You get that Robert Downey Jr. likes Iron Man and Chris Hemsworth likes playing Thor. And I just don't get that with Batman yet. And I'm hoping that the movie that they're working on actually comes out a lot better. But seeing I want that Batman moment that he comes in and he takes out a room full of guys in front of the Justice League and they're all kind of looking at each other like, whoa, you know, this guy doesn't have powers, you know, kind of thing. And I didn't quite get that cool Batman moment scene. He has this giant, ugly spider thing and I don't know what the point of that was. I think it was just so Cyborg could take it over. Yeah, and I wasn't feeling Batman. I haven't felt Batman yet. And on the other hand, I think Henry Cavill has sort of come into his own as Superman. I really think this movie reflected Superman really well. He comes in, and when he does show up, you know, he's sort of that Boy Scout Superman that I've always wanted to see on screen, and we haven't seen in a really long time, and his suit's a little bigger, brighter. There's a scene with him and the Justice League, and I don't know if it was Snyder or Whedon that directed that part, because I know they did a little bit of, both of them did a little bit of the movie, but there's a scene with him in the League where they sort of go at it a bit, and yeah, that was my favorite scene of the movie. That scene felt like a DC movie to me, like what a DC movie should be, and there's a couple more scenes at the end with Superman that I really liked. If people are really looking, you're going to see when they removed his mustache, and that sucks, but
yeah, because Mission Impossible or something.
But for the most part, I think Superman, I think they getting the Superman that we want to see. The villain, I couldn't stand. Steppenwolf, I couldn't stand. Don't know why they didn't do Darkseid. Not Darkseid, Darkseid.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
I just think that he really should have been the villain of the movie. I think maybe the original idea was to have him in the sequel, but I don't know if that's going to happen now. And they mentioned him at one point. Yeah, Steppenwolf was just the biggest blunder for me in the whole movie. He's completely CG. Doesn't have to be. I do think the movie used a little too much CG. Marvel sort of seems like they're able to mix it a little better. I just wasn't feeling that part of it. But I think by the end of the movie, it has its problems. The plot is a little all over the place. But I think by the end of the movie, it's worth the watch. I think DC fans really deserve better. You know, overall, I think it was it's worth the watch, especially if you're a DC fan, because I think they're sort of leaning towards the right thing. There's a couple of after credit scenes that really, really hit me as a fan. You get to see a character that fans will like. And yeah, I mean, there's a couple other things in the movie that really hit me as a fan, but they're on the right track. And I hope they're able to make another one. But I'm hopeful for the next few DC movies to come out. If they keep doing their movies this way, we could see some pretty cool stuff.
Would you give it on 10, Dave?
6.5, maybe? Maybe 7. Okay. 7.
All right. Cool. Thank you very much. Carp, go ahead.
It feels like Ben Affleck is there for a paycheck. Like, he doesn't give a shit about being Batman. So that's a little meh. Snyder slow-mo stuff. You know what? It was cool in 300 and Watchmen. You got to slow down on that kind of stuff and be an actual good director instead of just slowing everything down now. Aquaman was a little too dude bro for me. He's all like, yeah, awesome, tubular. Oh, yeah, let's rock on.
These fucking Michelangelo from
when, you know, the guy's supposed to be the king of Atlantis, he's a little too dude bro for it. Flash was the Flash from the Justice League cartoon back in the early 2000s. So maybe that's why I kind of liked Flash's little comedy stuff.
That guy was a little more like Wally West too. So
yeah, he wasn't the Barry Allen Flash. They called him Barry Allen, but he was more of a Wally West Flash, which I'm fine with. You know, he's learning the Flash, his Speed Force and what he's got. Because they don't really give him a debut. It's just like, oh, he's this super fast guy. They don't really explain what's happening. Cyborg was badly CGI'd. I don't know if that was because of the turnover from Snyder to Wheaton. But like, Cyborg looked like a Sega CD video game CGI. It was really rough to watch sometimes. Digitally removed mustache is very prominent. You can actually see it. Like, his skin color changes from like the rest of his face to where the fake mustache is.
You'd figure they'd be able to do a better job at that, like in 2017. You know what I mean?
Wonder Woman was as powerful as they made her. To me, Superman was not needed because the villain could have been beaten by Wonder Woman, in my opinion. With
the
how
the bank heist scene was really cool,
powerful. Yeah, with how powerful Wonder Woman played off in that scene, to me, she could have beat the bad guy on her own instead of Superman punching him really hard to beat him type thing.
She is just as strong as Superman.
There was a lot of negative and not enough positive for me in this movie. It was still a whole lot better than Batman vs. Superman, which I don't know if it's saying much. You know, it's like I still have the sour taste of Batman vs. Superman. And then Wonder Woman, you know, had a good sweetness to it. And now it's kind of like the sourness is starting to come back. For the delays and the reshoot and the money this cost, this movie should have been a whole shit ton better. It's like a 4 out of 10 for me.
Jeez, wow, okay. Heavy said, do you agree with that assessment?
I'm just going to give my review on how I feel about it. I'm not really big into, like I said earlier, all the TV shows. It's mostly a time thing. So I've never watched Flash, I've never watched Arrow, I've never watched any of that. My big question is, why am I supposed to give a fuck about The Flash? Why am I supposed to give a fuck about Cyborg, which they never refer to him as that? Almost what I've said before about the difference between DC and Marvel, that I feel like DC is just trying to catch up to Marvel. And I felt something, we all felt something watching The Avengers and how they built it, releasing Iron Man and then Incredible Hulk. And Iron Man 2, and then Thor and Captain America, and even introducing characters such as Hawkeye and Black Widow to, by the time we got to, and also I always forget him, Nick Fury. So by the time we got to Avengers and they all teamed up and everything was ready to go, it felt awesome because we knew about all these characters, even someone who didn't know about Iron Man prior to the movies and all that kind of, like, we all knew. With DC, we got a background story for Superman to start everything off, which is great. We don't need a background story on Batman because we've heard it a million times and everybody and their mother knows. It's very similar to the whole Peter Parker thing in Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, we don't need to see Uncle Ben die again. And thankfully they do that same thing with, we don't need to see how Bruce Wayne's parents die. We all know. So then we get a background story on Wonder Woman. Great. But why do I care about these other characters? I don't watch the TV show. And I know there's other people out there who don't either. So why should I care? And I actually really enjoyed The Flash. Out of every character in that movie, that's the one, like, every time he was on the screen, they did something with him, I laughed or something. And I'm curious to see what they do going forward with him. And that's the other thing. I've heard a lot of stories coming out this week, whether they're true or whether it's just, you know, just for the time being. It sounds like a lot of future projects are on hold for the DCEU. And that's one of them is an upcoming Flash movie. There's even rumors of Ben Affleck's future as Batman, and he might exit out after his solo movie. But the only thing that I think Justice League did well, comparing it to Avengers, not saying like as a whole, but I'm saying comparing it to, I was like, you know what? I like that aspect because the Avengers did not tell that story. Is when you get this team together, they're not going to work perfectly to begin with. It's not just like, all right, boom, we put you guys together, boom, you guys are kicking ass. No, there's growing pains and like learning to work together. That little aspect I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. And one of my biggest gripes, I think, with the fight scene at the end was basically, it doesn't matter who's in the Justice League. As long as Superman's there, he can kick everybody's ass. Because it seemed like no matter what the Justice League did without Superman, it was enough for the fight, but not enough to put Steppenwolf away. So then, all of a sudden Superman comes in. Oh, that's what you needed. And it, he doesn't even need any help. But I do think that's kind of the overbalance problem with Superman in general. As a whole, like I said, I think one of my biggest gripes is the fact that I would love to know more about these characters. If they would have found a way to tell the Flash story in a movie, found a way to tell Cyborg's, and I mean, I'm talking about a solo movie. I mean, there was a lot to explain, but I feel like they could have done a whole movie leading up to it. And then one of the biggest ones is Aquaman. I liked him as a character. I liked that we went from corny Aquaman, as he's so stereotypically known as, to this badass. But we only go to Atlantis once, and what is his background? Like, when he talks about his mother and his father, I'm like, I wish I knew what the hell he was talking about. Like, they could have done a whole movie on it. Instead, like, oh, by the way, there's this and that. Maybe we'll touch on it later in another movie. Great. Bunch of shit I don't understand. And that's coming, like I said, coming from an outsider who doesn't really read comics and doesn't matter if I don't watch the show because there isn't an Aquaman show. My rating is a 6 out of 10, and I do put it second when it comes to the DC movies. I think Wonder Woman is hands down number one, and then this one, and then I think I kind of put Suicide Squad next. That's the other thing, like I said, the consistency factor of you have the TV shows out there, and they're telling their own stories, and now you have the movies, and they're telling their own stories, and there's just that feel. I have yet to watch any of these movies and feel like they're all connected, and especially now there's even rumors. Another thing came out this week too, is they're talking about taking the whole Suicide Squad aspect of it and just making it a spinoff, like doing it its own thing. It's like, well, shouldn't they be involved in all this? And when it comes down to that movie, DCEU, the only thing that really made them feel like it was a part of the universe was Batman was in it, but everything else finds all these other ways to tie them together. But that's my rant. Like I said, 6 out of 10.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Heavy Set. Okay, let's get into the box office for this week. Break it down! Justice League debuted with a domestic gross of $93.8 million, number one at the box office this week. But with rumors that the movie costs around $300 million, it's going to need a lot more money, especially on the foreign market. It's already made 185, so it's made three. It's got to make about six to make its money back, and that's not even including advertising and prints. Wonder, the movie about a weird-looking kid and Julia Roberts, debuted at $27 million this week. Go check it out if you're into that.
He has a disability, man. Whatever. Careful.
Oh, here he comes. Come on.
you look,
you gotta be respectful.
It's the modern kind of telling of the movie Mask with Cher and Rocky.
You got 2017's Mask. Check it out.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok, $21 million, 62% drop. My guess, because of Justice League being in theater, still total domestic gross of $247 million, total international gross of $491 million, total worldwide of $745 million. Yeah, doing well.
Oh yeah, it was so bad. I mean, look at the rest of the world watching it. It was so bad, so bad.
Daddy's Home 2, $14 million this week with a total domestic of $50 million. Murder on the Orient Express, number five, with $13.8 million, total domestic of $51 million. The Star debut with $9.8 million. It's got a budget of $20 million. I don't think it's going to get a lot of foreign because it's got a lot of American actors there. Yeah, so you know, not going to make that much money. Probably it's money back. A Bad Moms Christmas, $7 million, total domestic of $51 million. Number eight, Lady Bird, $2.5 million, total domestic of $4.6 million. Number nine, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Great. I actually want to see this.
Yeah, just curiosity factor. $1.1 million. And number 10, Jigsaw, hanging in there with another $1 million, total domestic gross of $36 million. All right, there's not a lot of movies out this week. I think it's going to be very much heavy on Justice League, Thor Ragnarok, that kind of stuff. So whatever movies that are out now will get a lot more longevity than they would normally in the summer months. So that's
there is nothing until Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's going to pull in.
There's one movie that could do big numbers, and that is this weekend. Coco is coming out. That might not mean nothing to you guys, but number one, there's the fact of it's a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And kids love Pixar movie. Adults love Pixar movie because I'm planning on going to see it. And in the United States, it is Thanksgiving weekend. A lot more people go to the movies. I'm expecting Coco to do very well.
Oh, it's already done $48 million. Yeah.
I'm not sure when it comes out, but I'm really looking forward to seeing The Shape of Water, actually. I think that could do pretty well. The Guillermo del Toro movie, it's kind of like...
That'd be on the 28th.
Yeah, so...
The first.
I'm actually personally, as a fan, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, the next movie I'm looking forward to is Disaster Artist, the movie about the book based on the movie The Room from Tommy Wiseau. I know I talk about it every week, but it's out in the first. I've actually created a Facebook event. Only three people confirmed currently. But
I feel bad for John Cena's animated movie. They're going against Star Wars.
Yeah,
they're getting fucking destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts. Dave, let's get that website again.
It's libraries.com. You can check out my articles and my colleagues' articles on the Z News link on the page. And I'm also, I hope you don't mind me plugging this a little bit. I'm working on my own podcast really soon.
Nice.
That should be coming up soon. It's going to be called Edge of the Page. I'm going to have a bunch of my friends on there in the industry, fans of comics. It's mostly going to be based on comics, but we're going to talk about all kinds of different stuff. And my first guest is supposed to be Jason Rockman from Slaves on Dope and Shome Radio from here in Montreal. We're supposed to be setting that up next week, so it's sort of like training for doing that. I'll be doing it on at the store. So
there you go. Awesome. All right, cool. Look out for that podcast to drop. And once we get that info from Dave, we'll actually plug it on the show for next week's show. Carp, where can we find you online?
At Killer Corbidian for personal, StableWars.com, where we're always looking for new members. At CFL Esbix, last season, the Grey Cup episode should be out by now, and then wrap up at the end of the season to end the show. Finally, allbeerinside.com, at allbeerinside or allbeerinside@gmail.com. Get your stuff in. So me and Old School are on a road trip. Maybe we could talk about some funny things and record it.
All Beer Inside live in the USA, coming to a podcast player near you. Twittercast from the USA. Heavy Set, where can we find you online?
By the time this gets released, the Grey Cup should probably be... By the time he actually probably does release this, it will most likely be after the Grey Cup. There. Prove me wrong.
Challenge accepted. You can find us at oldschoolmovies.net, hashtag OSATM on Twitter for all your questions, comments, concerns. I can be found at STFU Old School as well. So for Carpe Diem, Dave.
Where's my plugs? I just brought something up. I was going to mention, obviously, Wrestling Cheers, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify.
Yes, sir.
And I'm probably missing one, but check out that. Go to whatamaneuver.net. Buy yourself a Wrestling Cheers t-shirt if you so choose to desire. And of course, well, probably have one more episode of Hanging with Heavy coming up this year. And then I'm going to take a little, like I said, mentioned earlier, I'm going to take a little hiatus and come back. Maybe not the first thing in January, maybe a couple weeks in, but.
Call it season two.
Just taking a break.
Or just taking a break, whatever works for you. All right, so for Heavy Set.
You know about that.
Yeah. For Heavy Set, Dave Karp, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
Toy Story was visionary. Inside Out was a true original. And Wreck-It Ralph was still pretty good. But now, the secret world under our own premise ends up like Taco Bell through a human centipede in The Emoji Movie. Experience a film that only comes around when a studio exec has custody of the kids for a weekend, where the underlying IP is the top priority, while story, plot, character, humor, and tone come tied for dead last. In a film that may not be the worst one ever made, but it is the worst example of Hollywood farting out 80 minutes of cynical branded advertising and pretending it's a movie. Too honest, here's a poop joke.
You might be making too much stink out of all this.
You know emojis? Those little pictures morons use instead of words? Did you ever wonder if they were alive? No? How about what their day job is like? No? Their love life? Never? Well, too bad, because you're going inside the bland animated world of your phone whether you like it or not. Full of three-dimensional representations of two-dimensional text icons, with one dimension to their personalities, and zero depth to any of this.
Are you finished?
Meet Gene, the meh emoji, voiced by humanity's own Matt T.J. Miller. He needs to believe in himself, get the girl, save the world, and probably some other generic protagonist goals you'll miss while you nap through the second act. Watch him and the Carpool Karaoke guy travel from app to show off all the cross-promotion Sony was able to sell. But because internet culture moves faster than it takes to animate a movie, all the apps are outdated.
Welcome to Just Dance!
Candy Crush.
All the slang is embarrassing.
Hashtag blessed.
NBD, dude.
Slay!
Ooh, shade.
And all the emojis have about 6 months of relevance left until they're replaced by Apple's horrifying human emoji hybrids.
We've got a chicken. Bark, 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 bark.
Okay, think of the laziest joke you can think of.
In the nosebleeds.
I'm standing right here.
No, even lazier.
What kind of business?
Monkey business.
Now, dumb it down to the point where it barely makes sense anymore.
Is that the time?
Hey, my eyes are up here, pal.
Congratulations. Now you're writing the emoji movie. Suffer through a parade of dumb kids humor bordering on anti-comedy, where the mad joke is run into the ground so hard you can't tell what happiness is anymore.
I'm just beaming with pride.
I'm so nervous, I could almost shrug.
Stop.
Don't overreact.
Uh-oh.
I told you not to overreact.
Please stop.
Right now, I'm so overwhelmed with passionate feelings for you.
I get it.
This is jazzy.
Ah! But nowhere does this comedy come closer to tragedy than Sir Patrick Stewart playing a turd.
Oh, shit.
Proof that you can give a man talent, awards, and a knighthood, but it's nothing compared to the power of a paycheck.
You're so soft, Poop.
Not too soft, I hope.
So experience the perfect film for our times that doesn't teach you the positive role of sadness like Inside Out, or turn a cash grab into something insightful like the Lego Movie, but instead teaches children that life is a meaningless, mediocre, joyless slog that takes place mostly on your phone and only exists to serve a global conglomerate's interest. Uh-oh, too honest again. Poop joke!
Just doing my duty. What? What did I say?
Starring the following actual quotes from the reviews of the Emoji Movie. This toxic piece of kitty trash isn't worth the pixels. Hear that? It's the end of the world. A viewer leaves the Emoji Movie a colder person, not only angry at the film for being unconsciously bad, but resentful of it for making them feel angry. And the poop jokes are minimal. Poop! A lot of good people probably had to work really hard on this movie for a really long time. So I'm sorry, not for anything I said about the film, just, you know, those lost years of your life.